You know, faith is a crucial element to overcome the world. I mean, we live in a world whereby the world is just filled with plenty of challenges, right? Challenges from fellow friends mocking your football team, to a lot more challenges, whether it's regarding job situation, marriage conflicts. We go through just different challenges in life. But what is most important is our faith. Because if our faith don't overcome the world, the world and the challenges of life will overcome us. Okay, the question to you is, do you overcome the world, or is your situation of the world overcoming and overwhelming you? And as a pastor, as I journey with different ones in their different journey of life, I always, after understanding their situation, I always ask them, how is your faith? How do you see this situation that you were going through? How is your faith? Because that will determine, really, how, if you are going to overcome that situation. And this series, Great Faith Series, looking at the book of Hebrews 11, it's really about the hall of faith, the different men and women of God. And if you look at their lives, they are ordinary men and women of God with weaknesses like you and I, right? But and yet the Bible recognize them as men and women of faith, of great faith. And we can learn from them. The book of Hebrews is written to encourage the Christian at that time to overcome persecution. It's written about 30, 35 years after Jesus resurrected. It was written potentially, most likely, during the persecution of Emperor Nero at that time. So they were going through tough persecution, tough challenges. But the author encouraged them to be of faith. Today, we're going to talk about another person by the name of Enoch. Say Enoch. Now, Enoch, it's very interesting because you don't find a lot of things in the Bible written about Enoch. Okay, Enoch is someone, the seventh generation from Adam. Okay, you probably won't see the names, but this family tree, if you just Google family tree of Enoch, you will find that you have Adam and Eve, and they have Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. The first murder recorded in the Bible. But eventually, Adam have another son called Seth. And Enoch right here is the seventh generation from Adam. Are you guys with me? So Enoch is also the great-grandfather of Noah. So that's where Enoch comes in. It's very interesting because there's not a lot of things that we can see from the Bible, and yet he was included in a hall of faith. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Now, this two generations. One is a generation of ungodliness, and the other one is a generation of godliness. As we lead our life, there is an implication, there is values that we pass on from one generation to another generation. And as you can see in the Bible, the generation, the lineage of Cain is ungodly. They are wicked, they are evil. While as the lineage of Seth, and you go down to Enoch and Methuselah and Noah, they are people who are known to be walking faithfully with God. Now, Enoch, he didn't part the Red Sea like Moses. He didn't kill Goliath like David. He didn't battle. He didn't write songs. But and yet, he's included as the Hall of Faith. Enoch is one of the two persons that did not suffer physical death. The other person is Elijah. Okay, these two persons that God loved them so much that they did not have to go through dying. Elijah was, if you read the Old Testament, he was carried to the heavens with chariots of fire. He didn't have to die. But Elijah performed miracles. He's one of the greatest prophets of the New Old Testament. He performed miracles after miracles. But Enoch, he didn't do much except being a father to his children. If we go back earlier to a couple of verses, this is the history of Enoch. Genesis 5, it says, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully. Say the word walked faithfully. He walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Now, in those days, 365 years is short. In those days, people average live around 700 to 900 years old. And Noah was the last generation, about 900 years old, was the last generation to live that long. And God says after the flood, averagely is about 120 years old. Okay, so Enoch is considered short-lived. I mean, if you were to translate it to today, it's like that person, Enoch, lived about 40, 45, 50 years old. Verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more. Couldn't be found. He was just no more because God took him away. Okay, that's the interesting about Enoch. I'm going to show you another timeline for you to better understand. This is not actual years, but Jared was born. Jared was Enoch's father. Okay, and Enoch was born. Methuselah, son of Enoch, was born. Lamech, okay, son of Methuselah, which is grandchildren of Enoch, was born. And Enoch was taken away by God. And then Noah was born. Which means that when Noah was building the ark, Lamech and Methuselah were still around. Okay, so potentially, Enoch's words and Enoch's wisdoms and Enoch's value was still with Noah, even though he has gone. Because he has passed on that value, that walking faithfully with God, to his children, to his grandchildren, and then his children and his grandchildren pass on to the next generation, which is Noah, which probably explains why that Noah too was a righteous man. Noah too was a person who seeks God. Are you guys with me? Okay, only after Noah built the ark, Lamech died, and Methuselah died, and then the flood comes, and then the judgment comes. And interestingly, when you look at the New Testament, there was a reference to Enoch that God revealed to Enoch about the judgment of God. And I think that gives a revelation to Enoch, saying that we need to live a life that is different. We need to live a life that is faithful to God. And he passed on that generation, that values, to the next generation, to the next generation. And eventually that prophecy, that word, that warning of God came to pass after his grandchildren died. And then Noah built the ark. It was ready for the judgment. And the grace of God was shown. And this is the verse that I was telling you about. Jude in the New Testament. Okay, bear with me, okay? Because these are just that few references that we can find about Enoch in the whole Bible. We don't know a lot about him. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied about this man also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." And Enoch hears God. And Enoch obeys God. Enoch hear the warning of God, and therefore he lived a life that he walked faithfully with God. So today, we're going to see, what did Enoch do that God was so pleased with him that he was included in the hall of faith? Let's look at Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death." Okay, he did not experience death. He was taken away, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Okay, he pleased God. Very powerful legacy that he left behind. Okay, it's sort of like if he really died and he had a tombstone, and his tombstone will write, "This is the man, this is the man who pleased God." And then we look at his life, he didn't do anything. He didn't part the Red Sea. He didn't do miracles. He didn't lead a battle. He didn't do anything except father his children and walk faithfully with God. He pleased for 300 years. He pleased God. And this is the verse that we always like to use when we pray for people. Okay, when people is about to do amazing things from God, people are about to step out in faith, I don't know, to go for mission trip, plant a church, pray for someone who is sick, then we always like to pray this. It says, "It is impossible to please God without faith." We like to use that verse, right? It is impossible to please God without faith, so go in faith. But this is making reference to Enoch, who, as we look at the Bible, he didn't do much in the eyes of human beings. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." And those words in yellow is the words that we want to talk about. What does it mean to walk faithfully with God? What does it mean to walk faithfully in your Christian walk with God, that you pleases God? You know, our Christian life is not a do and don't. Our Christian life is not something that you do on the Sundays. That on the Sunday you become a Christian, and Monday to Saturday you are something else. But our Christian life, when we receive Christ, we always hear that, you know, Christianity is a relationship with God. What does that mean? It's a walk with God. What does that mean? Okay, there's something about this walk that the Bible talks about. Ephesians 1, it talks about we walk in a way that is worthy of our calling. Psalms 1, it says, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So there is a particular pathway. There is a particular walk that we choose, whether it's the walk of the ungodly or the walk of the righteous. Psalms often talks about how we need to walk in accordance to God's holy commandment, right? Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless there is an agreement? You know, I don't know about you, but one of my goals as in my Christian walk is really, I want to please God in all that I do. And I want to honor God in all that I do. And sometimes it is not about doing things that pleases God. We can be doing things for God in a way that is not pleasing to God. Are you guys with me? We can do things for God in a way that is not honoring to God. Are you guys with me? Right? But we cannot honor God, we cannot please God without doing things for Him. Let me repeat that. You can be doing things for God. You can be serving, you can be, I don't know, preaching, you can be praying for the sick in a way that is not pleasing to God. That your life may not be pleasing to God. But if our life, if our walk pleases God, by second nature, we will be doing things for Him anyway. The word Hebrew, walk, means to move at a regular and consistent pace. It talks about walk continuously, conversationally. Yeah, it has that aspect to it. You know, my wife and I, when we first go dating, we always take long walks. Nowadays, we take solo walks. And I'm just kidding. There is something about taking a walk together. You know, we're walking at a leisure pace and having that conversation, having that relationship. Okay, when people go dating, they always like to take a walk in a park. Wow. And then you're giving her the hope of a beautiful life in front of you, right? You take a walk. Or you take a walk with your children. Nowadays, we take our kids to the park, especially the younger ones. We bring them to the park to take a walk. And that talks about a relationship. To walk on a consistent pace. My one-year-old, as he walks, I will walk with his pace, right? I will not walk on my pace and leave him behind. To walk in a pace that is together. Are you guys with me? And Enoch walk in a pace that in consistent pace with God, so that there is a conversation, there is a relationship that is going on. Be it at pace, be at ease, to be led and to follow. That is the Hebrew word about Enoch walking with God. How is your walk with God today? Are you at pace with God today? Or your prayer? Yeah, I pray every day. Yeah, but is your prayer rushed? Is your prayer, God, would you bless me for my meeting today? Bless my food in Jesus' name. Amen. And then God couldn't even answer you. You're already going off your own way. You already switched Him off. There is no conversation. How is your walk today with God? Do you take time to tune in? Do you take time to just allow Him to speak? Okay, I've not heard God audibly speaking to me, but I have once in a while felt God's impression on certain things and God reminding me of certain things, on certain things about me or certain things about my situation or certain things about people around me. Do you allow God to prompt you? Do you be at ease as you drive and as you read your Bible? And do you allow yourself to be walking in line with God? We are created to walk with God, to have a walk, to have a relationship with God. Christianity is so much more than just a good luck charm or a backup plan or religious things for us to feel better about ourselves and then we can do whatever we want because we have it covered. Christianity is a walk with God. My walk, His work. Okay, I want us to reflect on how's your walk? Is your walk pleasing to God? If we were to die today, will God look at us the way God looked at Enoch and says, you please me? How did Enoch walk with God? Firstly, Enoch faithfully believes in God. Okay, the verse Hebrews 11 talks about he who comes to God must believe that He is. The first thing about the walk with God is we must believe He is. We must believe. And one of the person that comes to my mind is the person, the late Dr. Billy Graham. He passed away last 2018 and he is one of the most influential, prominent evangelists in the 21st century. 1,000 words can be used to describe Billy Graham, but there was only one word that he cared about. Faithful. When he was asked what would he be the first line of his obituary, when someone died, they have the obituary, he says, the graying pastor simply said, I want to be known that that I love God with all my mind, all my heart, and all my soul. Not about his books that is written, not about his organization that he has built worldwide, not about his broadcasting company, publishing company, not about all those. But that my life is that, have I loved God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul? Reverend Billy Graham's body lies in the hall of the Capitol he once walked. But the most recognizable evangelist in the world will be somewhere else, in paradise, that he spent his whole life speaking about. He says, I am not going to heaven because I have ministered to great crowds, he said. I'm going to heaven just like the thief on the cross who said in that last moment, Lord, remember me. He is the same person when in the presence of up to maybe 10, 11 presidents, he is the same Billy Graham that is with the poorest of the poor in different parts of the world. Billy Graham didn't want anything from them. He only wanted eternity for them. My one thought was to be a spiritual blessing, he said, to be a witness. And that he was to every country on earth. And ask, what would he want to be remembered for? A faithful person. A person who loved God with all his heart. Enoch believed for 300 years. Okay, 300 years before he was taken away. And sometimes when we hold on to God's promises, we give up halfway. We waver. When situations change, we waver. When things turn for the good, yes, we believe. When things turn for the bad, we doubt, we no longer believe. Reminds me of the story, okay? This, I don't think it's a true story, but it's a parable. It talks about a farmer who lost his horse. The horse ran away, and a neighbor came and says, bad luck. And he says, maybe. 1 week later, the horse came back with 3 other wild horses. Neighbor came and says, wow, good luck. And he says, maybe. And his son tried to ride the wild horse. And the son fell down and broke his leg. And neighbor came and says, wow, bad luck. And he says, maybe. A week later, the gang, okay, the bandits came to their farms and wanted to recruit people to be part of their bandits. They will recruit young men to be part of their gang and go around stealing and killing people. But when they saw his son with a broken leg, and they spared the son. And a neighbor came and says, wow, good luck. And he says, maybe. You know, situation change. We don't have complete information. We don't know everything, right? Even Google doesn't know everything. We don't know everything, but we have a God who is all-knowing, omnipotent, a God that is all-knowing, not just all-knowing in this present time, but all-knowing past, present, and future, because he's not bound by time. And that's why we can believe and we can trust God, that our God, we know God knows our future. He holds our future in his hands, and he knows. Bad luck, good luck, maybe. We believe God and we stand till the end, until the day that we see God face to face. Second thing, Enoch seeks God, Hebrews 11. Okay, first thing, Enoch believes. Second thing, he seeks God. He seeks God. Hebrews 11 says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The question is, do we diligently seek God? Do we diligently seek God? Or our seeking God go hand in hand with our problems? Okay, for the students, it will be the day before exams. For the working people, maybe it's the day when we hit challenges in our lives and we all remember God, we try to seek him. But Hebrews says, God will reward those who diligently seek him. Are you diligent in your seeking God? And God took Enoch away. You know, there is this, the suddenness of God. If you do a word study in the Bible of the word suddenly, okay, God loved to do things suddenly. Enoch walked with God and suddenly he was no more. God took him away. You know, as you seek God, I want to encourage all of you. You may be holding on to a promise. You may be holding on. I've been praying and believing God for my parents' salvation for the longest time. Maybe almost 20 years already. I'm still believing God that God will suddenly bring about that to pass. And some of you could be holding on to a promise. But continue to seek God. And God likes to reward those who diligently seek him. And I want to share this story. This is a story of Jing. She has shared this before. some years back. This is a story when she was seeking God as an unbeliever. Okay, she was a student here, and a few good friends invited here to our church, and nice environment, nice fellowship, and she have not known who this Jesus is. As a student, first year students, and her friends would challenge her, said, you know, our God is real, and our God, if you seek Him, God will show up. Okay, she says, okay. So in that journey, she started her version of seeking God. And that day, when she comes to church, the offering bag was being passed around, and she has never given offering before. And that day, she has decided, okay, since my friend tells me to trust God, I'm going to try and trust God. I'm going to try to seek God. God, here's 1 ringgit. I put it in the offering bag. And that week, okay, student, you live in a tight budget, right? And that week, as she goes to school, go to a college, and she will buy roti canai for lunch and dinner. At that time, roti kosong, which is roti canai, costs about 1 ringgit. And she buy 1 ringgit, and she pack it back home, and when she reach home, she realized there's 2 pieces of roti canai. Okay, she's like amazed, and she remembered that, hey, you know, last Sunday I told God that I will try and seek Him and trust Him. She remembered what she did and her prayer. And she thought, wow, amazing. And that season was our mooncake festival season. And mooncake can be quite expensive, right? She thought, hey, wouldn't it be nice to have mooncake? God would. Then that few days, then there's a knock at the door. And she thought, who can that be? And she opened up her door, and there was this group of people. But they were going around to the different hostel of the students, distributing mooncakes. But they were distributing just a small slice of mooncake. But as she opened the door, the guy saw Jing, and the guy thought, hey, I know you. You're from the same school in Penang. Take the whole mooncake. In the next couple of weeks, and she shared with her friend and what had happened, and it challenged her, and she gave her life to Jesus. She believed God because God rewards those who seek Him. And God rewarded Jing in that journey of seeking Him. God rewarded her. God rewards doesn't mean that He will reward us however we ask how we want to be rewarded. Are you guys with me? And God will reward in the ways that it's beyond us, that we don't even imagine. When God delayed our prayer requests, delayed answering our prayer, it's His way of rewarding us because that's the best for us. But the question is, do you seek God diligently? I like this quote by Pastor Rick Warren. He says, the most common mistake Christians make in worship today is seeking an experience rather than seeking God. St. Augustine, one of the early fathers of the church, he says, to fall in love with God is the greatest romance, to seek Him the greatest adventure, and to find Him the greatest human achievement. Oswald Chambers, he talks about spiritual lust. The I must have it at once syndrome causes us to demand an answer from God instead of seeking God. Okay, now we approach God in prayer. It's like demanding God for an answer. Instead of that, we should be seeking God. Instead of seeking God Himself who gives the answer. Sometimes you say, today, God, is the third day I've been asking and I haven't seen any results. Whenever we insist that God should give us an answer to prayer, we are off track. The purpose of prayer is that we get a hold of God, not of the answer. You know, ultimately, the greatest reward is God Himself. Isn't that? The greatest reward is God Himself. You know, my children come to me with all kinds of requests. Dad, can I buy this from the stationery shop? Dad, can I buy this from the petrol station? Dad, can I buy this? Can I buy that? Ultimately, sometimes I buy for them, sometimes I don't. But really, the ultimate reward is that relationship, right? Is that relationship that I have with my children. So ultimately, as we seek God, the ultimate reward is God Himself. Number 3, Enoch declares God's word. Enoch declares God's word. Now, some of you, as you walk through your life, I pray that you will have various Word of God that you hold on to. You can stick those in your car dashboard. You can put it on your screensaver. You can put it on your, I don't know, your phone. You can put it wherever that may be. But we got to hold on and declare God's word. And I hope and I pray that you have a few verses that you hold on to, that you're believing God for. Enoch declares the word of God. I want to end with this verse. In our walk with God, sometimes we go astray, right? Whether it's intentionally, whether it's unintentionally, sometimes we rebelliously go astray. I remember unintentionally or intentionally, I don't know, maybe a mixture of both, walking away from God or drifting away from God when I was transitioning between my A-levels to my university. And that coincided with a long holiday break when I was in hometown, when there's no life groups, when there's no people around me. So I was away from the fellowship. I grown cold. And over that 6 months, when I came back to KL, I'm like, you know. We didn't have Grab back then. I didn't have a car. And different ones, Pastor Stephen, Charlene, different ones would come and pick me up. And I would find a million and one excuses not to go to church. But Proverbs 6:3 says that in all your ways, as you submit to Him, God will make your path straight. As you submit to God, wherever, how far you may have drifted, you can be physically here and your heart is far away. Isn't that true? But as you submit to Him, as you submit your heart to Him, then God will kind of make your path straight. God will kind of make your walk straight back to Him. And that's why I want to encourage you today about your walk with God.